And we're going to begin reading in verse number 25 and give you the message the Lord's laid on the heart. Mark chapter number 5, verse number 25. If you found your place, if you would, say amen. All right, Mark chapter 5, verse number 25. We're going to begin reading there and read down through here through a few verses. The Bible says in Mark 5, 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood of 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's pray again. Lord, thank you so much this morning for loving us, God, and we thank you for our church, and we thank you for Calvary and the blessings, God, that were just given as a testimony a second ago, Lord. We thank you for Brother Brian and his wife and family, Lord, coming before the church to want to be a part of it, Lord. And Father, we thank you for our church family and those that are here this morning. And God, more than anything, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're praying this morning, God, that you would move me out of the way, Lord. You just use me as a willing vessel, that God, you touch my thoughts, Lord, and my lips. And Father, I pray that you get all the glory, the praise, the honor. Lord, I thank you for the Spirit that's here this morning. And pray, God, you'd move through us and with us. In your name we pray. Amen. We find a story here that's a familiar story to most folks about this woman here that had this issue of blood. And she had this problem within her. And she needed to get help. And I'm telling you what, there is a lot of people today that need help. There's not only a lot of people in this world, there's a lot of people in the church that just need help. And we all have things that we deal with. And I want to start off this morning as a way of introduction, just asking a question, and you don't have to answer it verbally, but in your heart, have you ever been touched in a special way? Have you ever been touched in a special way? There's a few touches that I remember in my life and some things that I'll never forget. I remember my wedding day. Amen. I'll never forget my wedding day when the first time that Miss Sarah's hand was placed into my hand by her father. That is a touch I'll never forget. Amen. And some of y'all might remember that day. For some of y'all, it might have been a long, long time ago. Amen. And but you remember that day, that first touch you got when you held your wife's hand. And man, that special feeling that you had. I remember the first time I ever got touched by electricity. Has that ever happened to anybody before? Amen. It's a special touch. It is a special touch. The other night, Brother Brian and them were over there, and I think Miss Nicole was over there aggravating us, or something was going on. And she was telling us about her son, how he had gotten into an electrical outlet, and it held on to him. Amen. Praise the Lord that nothing bad happened, but it got a hold of him. Is that not what happened? Got a hold of him. And so she tells me that, and then Sarah says, oh, yeah, I meant to tell you, Elijah were doing that the other day and talking about how funny it was. That they could feel that it felt funny, like something was vibrating. I said, they were getting electrocuted, and they thought it was funny. Amen. If you ever got a hold of electricity, I know Brother Bobby doing the work he does, he's probably got, it's probably got a hold of him a time or two, or I don't know, he's real careful, maybe not. But, man, you get touched by electricity. There's some times in my life where I've been touched emotionally. Where, man, it just, where God just gets a hold of your heart, or you hear a story. There was a story I heard not long ago about a three-year-old boy. A preacher was talking about this three-year-old boy that was terrified of his dad. And he told the story as every time the dad come home, he was just a drunk, and he would beat on the little boy's mother, his wife, and just abuse her. And I hate hearing stories like that. That makes me want to fight. Amen. If I hear somebody beating up on a lady, and so I hear about that, and man, it just bothered me. This 3-year-old boy was so scared of his dad, and he'd go to school and or the daycare he went to, and was telling people, I'm scared. They never could fully understand what he was scared of. And that dad ended up coming home one day and shooting that 3-year-old boy and the mom, and talked about how that boy was scared and stuff. And man, I tell you what, when I heard that story, I began to cry. I was touched emotionally about that story. You hear of stories of abuse and things, and some man, it is amazing what some kids have to grow up in these days. We need to thank God for what we have and pray for those that don't have what we have. Amen. And pray for them. And sometimes you run across people and they might not look right, they might smell funny, there might be something a little different about them, and instead of sticking our nose up at them, you don't know what they're going through. There's people we cross every day that you have no clue what's going on at their house. You say, what do? You tell them, you love them, tell them about Jesus, amen. Invite them to church. God's the only one that can help them. But I tell you what, out of all the touches that I've ever had in my life, there's none like the one I received in July of 1995. I was 10 years old, and I came down to an altar and asked Jesus Christ to save me. I'll never forget that touch. I'll never forget that moment when Jesus moved in and changed my life forever. And I praise the Lord for it. And since then, there's been times where God's just been sweet enough, and He's just been loving enough that He'd come down and touch me again, amen, with that sweet Holy Spirit. And we find here a story of a lady that needed a touch. She needed something. She had this problem within her. She was diseased, and we're going to look at that here in just a minute. But she needed something. She was in trouble. She had to have an answer, or she was going to die in her condition. And she had to have some help. She had to have God more than anything. She had to have it. There wasn't an option in her life. She needed help. We're going to see in a minute she went to some physicians and they couldn't do nothing for her. Her friends couldn't do nothing for her. The world couldn't do nothing for her. She needed the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what she had to have. And this lady, she heard that Jesus Christ was coming, and she was just had to get to Him. And the Bible said the press was all around Him. We were at this thing the other night, man. There was press everywhere. Them folks were like cockroaches, were they not, Brother Hunter? Man, them folks were everywhere. And they were surrounding Jesus, and all these people were there. But she had to get to Jesus. And I can just imagine this lady who had this issue of blood for all these years, and she had this problem. She just knew that she had to get to Christ. And you say, why did she have to get to Christ? Because I'm sure that she heard a story, and she heard about when Jesus had turned the water into wine at the wedding. I'm sure she heard that story and said, man, there's something special about this man. Or she might have heard the story about how he healed a nobleman's son there in Galilee. And she heard about him driving out an evil spirit from a man at Capernaum. And she heard about Peter's mother-in-law being healed. And she heard about a lot of folks getting healed after dark over there in Mark chapter 1. The Bible says that a bunch of folks came and Christ was healing them. And she probably heard about a man that had leprosy over there in Mark chapter 1 verse 40. She heard how he got healed. And she heard how these others got healed. And then she heard about a centurion who had a paralyzed servant. And she heard that Jesus Christ had healed that servant. And then she heard about the man that we read over in Mark chapter 2 where he was paralyzed and he couldn't do anything. He couldn't get to God, but his friends took him to Jesus Christ and lowered him through a roof. And she heard that he stood up and walked again. And she heard these stories. And she said, I have to get to that man. Why else would she search Jesus unless she knew that he was the one that could help her? And then she also might have heard about a man who had a withered hand in Mark chapter 3, and he healed that man. All these miracles are things that took place before this woman's miracle ever took place. And I just seem to think that maybe she heard about it, amen? I don't know if it spread through the social media of the day or whatnot, but she heard about the things that was going on. She heard about Jesus Christ was out in a storm, and a mighty storm came up, and he stood on the bow of his ship and said, peace be still, and the winds and the storm and the rain obeyed him. She probably heard that story. That happened before she got healed. And then she might have heard about just in the previous verses here in Mark chapter number 5, she probably heard about a man that was full of demons. Amen. There's some demon-possessed people in this world today. And she might have heard of this man that was full of demons. And the Bible says that God went up to him and said, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion, for we are one of many." This man was full of a lot of demons. And she might have heard how Jesus cast those demons out into a bunch of pigs, and those pigs ran down in the water and drowned themselves. And she heard all these stories, and this same Jesus was nearby her. And she saw the crowd just gathering around him, and the crowd was there, and she didn't want to bother him that day. She didn't want to upset him that day. She just wanted to touch the hem of his garment and said, "If I could just touch him, I know that everything will be okay." And I'm here to tell you this morning, that's exactly what we stand in need of, is a touch. We stand in need of a touch from God. Man, I'm telling you what, there's some of you, it's been a long time since tears have come in your eyes, and a long time since you might have made a trip to an altar to say, "God, I need a touch in my life." You know, this woman here, there's something I noticed this morning when I was reading through my Bible and driving over to church this morning. I noticed something, Brother Heitch, there were some people that God healed, that Christ healed, that they could not help themselves. There were some that were paralyzed. They could not get to Jesus. Somebody had to take them to Jesus. Oh man, you actually, Jesus Christ here in this passage we're reading, he's on his way to heal a little girl that can't get out of bed. Because it's Jairus' daughter. He said, "Christ, I need you to come. My daughter's about to die." And as a matter of fact, after Jesus gets done dealing with this lady here, the daughter dies. And Jesus said, "Hey, don't worry about it. I'll lift her up again." Amen. But there's some people that cannot help themselves. But we find some other folks in the Bible, like this lady, that they can. Now, they're sick and they've got a problem, but they can physically go get Jesus. And you know what I find sometimes, Brother Hodge? I think that God desires for us to reach out and touch him. That God desires that we approach him, that we find ourselves on the altar with tears and prayer saying, "God, I need a touch from you, and God, I need you in my life and in my home and in my marriage and in my family. I have to have a touch." And this lady had to have this. She had to have it. Her life was a complete mess and a disaster. And we're going to look at it here in a second. She tried everything she could, but she knew if she could just touch the garment, just the hem of the garment of Christ, that everything would be okay. We find ourselves today in a society of so-called Christians and church folks that they have no desire to be touched by God. Why? It's going to change their life. If you've ever had a true touch from God and you've been born again and washed in the blood and the Holy Spirit fill you, it'll change your life. You know, there's some things you can't listen to no more when you get a touch from God. There's some things you can't, there's some places you can't go. There's some music you can't listen to. There's some things you can't wear no more when you get a touch from God. You know what? I think there's some that have lost that. Lost that touch, man. We just go through the motions sometimes. But this woman here, she had to have a touch from God. She had heard about all these stories, and she had heard about all these things. And there might be someone here this morning, you've never really had that touch from God. You say, "I'm saved and thank God for it." But I'm talking about where God is real in your life and where God influences your life. He influences your decisions and everything you do, being filled with God. Amen. Excited about the Word of God and the things of God. And man, when people are singing and God's moving and you can feel the presence of God in your life, have you lost that this morning? I'm telling you what, this woman here, she had to have a touch. Let me look at just a few things this morning when it comes to this touch. The title of the message is "Just One Touch." And I'm not talking necessarily about God touching you. I'm talking about you getting to a place where you need Him. Where you need Him. The Bible says there in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Are y'all still there? Mark 5, verse 25. "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse." Number one, I'd like to say about this woman, we see her condition. She was diseased. She had a problem. The Bible says there in verse 25, she had an issue of blood of 12 years. 12 years is a long time to live with a sickness. And I know of folks that have lived with some kind of sickness or ailment in their life for a long time. This woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. And I want to tell you this morning that before Jesus Christ touched me that day in July of 1995, I might have been 10 years old, but I had a disease in my life called sin that only He could cure. And I had to get to Jesus. Brother Hodge, my dad being a preacher wasn't going to save me one bit. My mom being singing songs and teaching Sunday school was not going to save me one bit. Hey, the fact that I knew who my preacher was and the church that I went to was not going to heal my condition. It was not going to save me. I needed a touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a lot of folks today, and I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation because you can't talk me out of mine. I know I'm saved. But we have people today that go around that think they're saved, but they've never had a touch. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about there was never a point in their life where they truly did business with God when it comes to their soul salvation. Amen. You say nothing ever stirs them. They don't get excited about God. And now, I know people can get backslidden, and I'm going to get to that here in a minute, but I'm just talking about there's some folks that have never truly been born again and saved. And I'm not the kind of preacher that talks anybody out of their side. I'm not going to do it. There's a lot of folks, they don't need to get re-saved. They need to get right with God and get rid of sin. That's what it boils down to. But there might be someone here this morning that you've never taken that trip down to an old-fashioned altar and said, Lord, here I am, a sinner. I know You died on the cross for my sins. I'm tired of living my own way. I'm tired of trying to convince everybody that I'm saved. I need to be saved. I need to know for sure. We had some folks, amen, I don't want to embarrass them, Miss Jen and Miss Cassie, man, they came forward and said, hey, I want to know for sure. Thank God for that day. Man, I would hate to go to bed at night not knowing for sure. I want to know, I know that I'm saved. There might be a lot of things happen in my life, but I know I'm saved, and I know where I'm going when I die. And this woman here had a condition, and she was diseased. Before Jesus Christ came in our heart, we all had a disease. This woman had her disease for 12 years. There was some of y'all that might have had it longer than that. Brother Hodge, how old were you when you got saved? 20. He had his disease for 26 years. You know how long I had mine? 10. Amen. Brother Tony, how old were you when you got saved? He had his for 33 years. Amen. But guess what? It don't matter how long, Christ can heal it. This woman had hers for 12, and I'm telling you what, when Jesus Christ came by and he touched this woman, that disease of 12 years went away, and that didn't matter anymore. Number one, she was diseased. Number two, she was desperate. This woman was desperate. Look at verse number 26. Y'all still with me? I mean, I haven't preached for 2 weeks, and I feel like preaching this morning. So, verse number 26, and had suffered many things of physicians. Can I get an amen? Have any of you suffered things from physicians before? Amen. Try this medicine. Try this pill. Try this, exercise. Try this. Hey, they call it a practice for a reason. That doctor is practicing medicine, and you're the guinea pig they're practicing on. And whatever medicine you get is whatever drug company's writing them the most money. Amen. There's a commercial. This woman had suffered many things of many physicians. It wasn't just one physician, Brother Brian. She went to every doctor in town trying to get healed. She went to every doctor in town trying to... the Bible says she had spent all that she had. She had spent all of her money. She spent all of her effort. She spent all of her health, all of her time just trying to get healed of this thing that she had. And the Bible says there in verse 26... and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. How many times do we hear people that go to the doctor and they try to diagnose them and give them medicine and they end up worse than when they went to the doctor? Amen? You say, should you not? No, you should go to the doctor, but I'm telling you what, you should never step foot in one doctor until you talk to God about it. I believe that, Brother Heitch. You don't step one foot in that doctor. You don't step one foot in that anywhere you go until you talk to God about it and get His wisdom on it. You know, we pray when somebody's in the hospital or sick or having surgery, we pray, Lord, would you be with that doctor? Give that doctor wisdom. Well, you don't realize that doctor's got a doctor degree from Yale, and all he got a doctor degree from UAB, and he's the best in the world. Without God, he's nothing. I'd rather have some doctor that, you know, graduated from Cordova High School that was full of God than somebody that was at UAB that didn't know God. Amen. You pray about those things. I pray about them. And I'm telling you what, this woman was desperate. She tried every doctor. She spent every dime she had. I'm telling you what, I'm sure she went to some, it says she went to many doctors. She probably went to doctors that said, try this. She probably went to doctors that said, do this. I'm telling you what, there's doctors for anything today. There's doctors that'll give you pills. There's doctors that'll give you exercises you can do that'll change your diet, that'll do this. I mean, there are all kind of different ones. Man, there's some of them you go to and they say, smoke marijuana. It'll help. It'll heal you up. Amen. And do all these different things. And man, you got all these different doctors. And there's people that try doctors. They spend all the money they have. They'll try drugs. They'll try alcohol. They'll try relationships. They'll do anything in the world they can to fill that void. There's an emptiness there that only God can fill. How many people do we know of that died alcoholics? Their liver just blew up because they were trying to find happiness in that bottle. How many people do we find and we see that, that their arm looked like just a bunch of marks, a bunch of needle marks up and down their arm, because all they lived for was getting their next fix, because that was the only thing that kept them alive. And that was the only thing they need, was that drug. And that's the only thing that they had. There's people that right now, man, there's little girls that I run across to meet sometimes, and they got some old boyfriend that does nothing but beat up on her, and he's been in and out of prison, but she won't get away from him because, hey, that's all she knows. She's trying to find happiness in a relationship. It's all over the place. There's desperate people everywhere. You know what they need? The Lord Jesus Christ. There might be somebody in here this morning. You've tried everything. You've even been to this church. You've come and gone. And I'm telling you what you need today is a touch from God, because nothing's going to satisfy that. No job, no relationship, no amount of money in the world is going to do what Jesus Christ can do for you. Can I flip the coin on the desperation here? There's some that, hey, you're desperate. You're trying everything. But I'm telling you what, there's some Christians, Brother Heitch, there's some Christians that are they're not desperate enough for God. They're not desperate enough for them. God's blessed them. They've got a good family. They've got a good home. They've got a nice vehicle. They go home and eat. Hey, they don't have to pray groceries in. Me and my wife have never one day in our life had to get down on our hands and knees and pray for our next meal. I'm not talking about pray over the meal. I'm talking about praying because we're not about to eat. We've never done that. Amen. Anytime a kid gets sick, we throw them in the van, run down to the doctor. Anytime we need to buy something, we just go buy it. We just go do it. I'm telling you what, we need to get to a point, child of God, where we're desperate for God. We need to get to a point where we want Him next than our we want Him more than our very next breath. It's like, God, we have to have You. That's the touch I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about us approaching Christ this morning. I'm talking about us who are, hey, we're saved. Many people are saved, but there's some not in here this morning. I pray you get saved. Amen. That's a part of this message. You need to get born again. You need that touch. But I'm also talking to the church here this morning, and I'm telling you, we need a touch from God. Our marriage needs a touch from God. Say, my husband's not here. He's not even saved. I don't know if he's saved. He's not. He might be saved. He's not here, or he's got problems. I'm telling you, you know what we need? We don't need another Dr. Phil. We don't need Oprah. We need a touch from God. That's what we got to have. Our family, our children, our kids, our marriage, our relationships, our church needs a touch from God. And I'm not preaching down at Jimmy Hill Mission this morning. I'm not preaching down in the prison system this morning. I'm preaching to the church this morning, and I'm telling us that we need a touch from God. And hey, just like those people that are down there in prison, or they might be down at Jimmy Hill Mission, they don't know to go get God. They don't know how to find God, and the preacher's got to go tell them, amen? Brother Heitch done it. I've done it. Went and preached in the prisons. You know what that is? That's us trying to take Jesus Christ to them. Jairus went up to God, Brother Robinson. Jairus went to Christ and said, my daughter's sick. I got to take you to Him. And sometimes we got to do that. Sometimes we got to say, hey, we got to take Jesus and say, hey, or sometimes like that lame man that got laid down through the roof, they had to take him to Jesus. But then there's some other ones, they're fully able to go to Him. They still have a problem. This lady with the issue of blood for 12 years, she was able to go to Jesus. Jesus didn't go seek her out. She said, I need a touch, and I'm going to go find Him. And that's who I'm preaching to this morning. Those that need to be saved and those that are fully able. But hey, you just need a touch from God, but we got to go to Him. You can sit in church all day long. You can have your King James Bible in your lap, and you could be a moral person and not have a touch of God in your life and not have God's wisdom in your life. And you can sit here and do this, and then you can go home and you can listen to the country music and all the other kind of stuff, or watch whatever you want to watch, or dress whatever, however you want to dress, and just be fine, and it doesn't bother you one bit. And you can come right back here and do it over and over again and go through the motions, or you could get a touch from God have the blessings of God in your life where God is pleased. This woman, she had this thing for 12 years. She was desperate. You know what she could have been? Instead of desperate, she could have been dumb. You say, what do you mean by that? Oh, I've had it for 12 years. I'll just keep living with it. I heard how Jesus healed all those people. I heard what he had done, but I've lived with it for 12 years. I'm just going to keep going the way I'm going. One day it'll kill me, but hey, it could be another 12. I could have another 12 years. You know what I find sometimes? I think there's a lot of Christians that are just going through the motion. They haven't had the touch of God in their life. They're married. They've been married maybe a long time. They just live together. They're not in love like they used to. Why? Because God is love. If God's not in the center of marriage, hey, you got God up here, and you got a husband and wife, and I don't care how hard they try, they're not going to get any closer together unless they get closer to God. God, husband, wife, the closer they get to God, the closer they'll get to one another. And I'm telling you what, there's so many Christians today that are going through the motions, and they're living their life out, and they're raising their children without a touch of God. And God's not going to step up and interrupt you at all. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to get on your hands and knees and crawl before him and just reach up and touch the hem of his garment, because you're desperate, because you need him. We live in a society today where our young folks, man, they're brought up with everything they need. They don't have to pray for nothing. Amen. We try to do it with our kids. The Lord has blessed us, and we're able to do some stuff for them. But whenever they come up and say, Daddy, can I have this? Or Daddy, I would like to have one of this. You know what we tell them? Well, why don't you pray about it? Why? Because we want to get them trained up to pray and ask God for it. Amen. We live in a generation today that doesn't need God. You say, how in the world can you say that? Well, we live our life every day like we don't need God. I'm just being honest this morning. Amen. It's like that. We get to where we think that we don't need God. I have to have him. And we as a church have to get to a place where we have to have God. Amen. Y'all know it. You get any kind of trouble, you can rip out that MasterCard. Charge! Amen. Probably half of us going broke over Christmas and paying it off the next 6 months of the year. Amen. Just charge. We'll just pay for it. Or we'll swipe it and pay for it later. Amen. We really, truly, we need to get back to needing God. This woman was desperate. She lived for 12 years. She heard that somebody can do something about it. And I'm here this morning to tell you there's somebody that can do something about it. There's somebody that can do something about that marriage and that home and them kids. There's something that can do about your job or whatever you're going through. There's somebody that can do something about it. And this lady said, I've lived with it for 12 years. I heard there's somebody that can do it. I want to get to Jesus. She was desperate enough to go find him. When's the last time you were desperate enough? Who cares who thinks about it? Who cares what anybody believes or what they think about it? I've got to get to Jesus. I'm going to get to an altar. I need God in my home. I need God in my church. This woman didn't care. The Bible says she was crawling through the press and through the people on this old dirty, nasty street, and she didn't care. She was desperate. We need to get desperate for God. We need to see souls saved. You know, we're not going to see one soul saved until we get desperate for God. We're not going to see kids show up on a bus. We're not going to see the Sunday school class fill up with these kids out here that are being abused and they're not being fed like they ought to. And we're a church sitting here that can help, that we can help our community. But we're not going to do one thing until we get desperate for God and say, Lord, we know what you've done for us and we want to help somebody else. But we've got to get to that point. She was desperate. She was destitute. Verse number 26, and nothing was better there at the end, but rather grew worse. Man, she was desperate. She was destitute. And I'm telling you right now, y'all think back before you got saved, how hopeless you were, how destitute. You were helpless. You were hopeless. Some of you might have been homeless, amen? before Jesus Christ came in. Heaven surely wasn't your home. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:12 that those people that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in this world. That's exactly where we were before we got saved. Some, you know, there's some Christians that were saved out of that condition. There were some that were saved from it. I was one of those. God saved me from a lot of trouble. I got saved at a young age, and I thank God for it. You know what bothers me, though? What bothers me, Miss Cheryl, sometimes people get saved out of a life of sin, and they'll get saved out of a life of heartache, and then they'll be saved for so many years, and they'll go right back into it. They'll get out of church. They'll get unfaithful to God. They don't want that touch no more. They don't want... Hey, if you get around those folks, they don't even want to really talk about the Bible. They will just enough to get you off their back, but it bothers them. It makes them uncomfortable. Why in the world would God save you out of that? Would you want to go right back into that pig slop? Why would you want to go back into the world? But there's people that do it. Not only do we see her condition, but number two, we see her cure. We see her cure. Verse number 27, when she had heard of Jesus. What'd she hear, Brother Andrew? Oh, she heard a lot of things. Man, all these miracles I told you about a second ago. She heard about all these things. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. And she said here, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. We see her cure. You say, what did she do? She just trusted Jesus. She had heard, but she trusted Jesus. I want to tell these young men sitting here, we got some of them that are getting ready to graduate, and I know I've preached to you here the last few weeks, but I'm telling you, but before you start making these decisions in your life on where you're going to work, who you're going to marry, what you're going to do for the rest of your life, you need to get a touch from God. You need to get alone with God and have a relationship with Him. I'm telling you what, because every decision you make from here on out will affect the rest of your life. It'll affect everything you do from here out. This woman, she heard about how good God is. She knew how bad the world was, and she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that some of you grew up in a good home where they sheltered you from this old wicked world. I thank God I grew up in one of them. You know what you have to do now? You have to get a touch and trust God. Say, Lord, I've heard it all these years. I've seen it preached. I've heard these things, and now I'm going to trust you. That's what we have to do, amen? And that's what this woman did. She heard that Jesus healed these people, and she said, I trust that He'll do the same for me. Verse number 28, for she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Man, she just trusted Him. She trusted that He was enough of God that if she would just touch His clothes, that she was going to be made whole and everything would be okay. Would to God that we all had that trust that she had. Not only does she trust, are y'all still with me? I know it's after 12. I don't want y'all to shut it off yet. Not only does she trust Jesus, she touched Him. The Bible says there in verse number 29, Mark chapter 5, verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? She touched Jesus. She got Jesus' attention. I'm asking you this morning, church, dad, mom, husband, wife, child, when's the last time that you reached out and touched Jesus where He said, wait a minute, somebody just touched me? When's the last time you had that? When's the last time we had a church service in this church where Jesus stopped what He was doing up in heaven on the right hand of the throne of God and said, wait a second, something's going on down here? You know what's sad? There's a lot of churches going through the motions this morning all over this country, and Jesus isn't paying attention to anything they're doing. Why? It has nothing to do with Him. It's just an act. It's just a performance. And I'm telling you what, I want to have some church services that aren't about Andrew McAfee, that aren't about Dennis Heights, that aren't about Johnny Ryland, not about anybody in this church, but about the Lord Jesus Christ, where He says, I want to go to White Oak Independent. I want Him to be a full-time member here and be at every service. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take for us to reach up to heaven and touch Him and say, God, we need You. We have to have You. We started back men's prayer this morning. 9:30, man, God, there, and try to pray. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to touch Jesus and say, God, we need you to be in this service. Or we could be like a lot of places and just go through the motions and it be a social. That's all it is a social club at that point. If Jesus Christ does not show up in the church, it's just a social club. It's nothing different. She touched Jesus. You know what we need? We need a touch from Him. Bible says He's the master of the sea. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the great physician. He's the creator of the universe. That's who we need. That's who we need a touch from. You know what's sad? There's a lot of folks, the last time they felt that presence of God in their life was the day they got saved. They haven't had that touch since then. Man, that's sad. You know what? I need one regularly. We see her condition. We see her cure. Third of all, lastly, we see her confession. Verse 31, we see her confession. Verse number 31, the Bible says, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? They're being sarcastic to the Savior. You know what they said to him? They said, there's people everywhere, Christ. Everywhere you're walking, people are rubbing up against you. They're hitting you. They're reaching out for you. The press wants to talk to you. They want to interview you. Man, there's people everywhere, and you ask who touched you. There's a difference in this woman that touched him than everybody else. She needed something, and she knew he was the only one to give the answer. All those other people were there because they wanted to know what was going to happen next. They were watching. She was the one actually needing him. They were just there because, hey, that was the thing going on, man. This guy's healing people. He's doing things. And this big crowd's around. They want to see what he's going to do next. But there was one woman that wanted to get in on what he was doing. And how many times do we have a church full of folks, full of people, and there's a couple people that they want to get in on what God's doing, and the rest of them are just watching. Amen? Just watching. She wanted to get in on it. We see her confession here. He said there in verse number 31, who touched me? Verse number 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. You know what Jesus requires? He requires a confession. I'm not talking about some kind of Catholic ritual. I'm talking about Jesus Christ requires we be honest with Him. Brother Johnny, Christ knew who touched Him. He knew who touched Him. He knew that woman had an issue of blood. He knows everything. He knows exactly what you need this morning.
Multitudes had followed him. He could not get away. Then Jesus felt that virtue had left him on that day. A woman had an issue of her blood 12 long years. Her pain was great, but greater still was her faith that God could heal. Lord, just a touch of your garment is all I need to make me whole and cleanse this plague of blood I'm suffering. Lord, just a touch, let me feel your power. Just to touch your hem can cleanse me this hour. Like the woman with an issue, I had a blood disease. Like the woman with an issue, I had a blood disease. Bound to a sinful nature, with wages too great to pay. Unworthy of God's grace, yet he hung on Calvary. My sin was great, but greater still was God's love and power to heal. Lord, just a touch of your garment is all I need to make me whole and cleanse this plague of blood I'm suffering. Lord, just a touch, let me feel your power. Just to touch your hem can cleanse me this hour.